You guys ready to kick this off? It's another exciting day here at Ignite Australia. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're going to have a good chat this morning. Ben, why don't you introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name's Ben DeQuell. I'm from Microsoft. I work in our cloud and enterprise team as a global black belt. I specialize around Azure and the modern data center. A lot of our cloud-based and hybrid-based solutions we do.
Cool. And you're from?
I'm from Sydney.
From Sydney, yeah.
You can tell by the accent, maybe, but not from the US.
Hey, don't hold it against me.
I try to.
But no, everybody, so my name is Clint Wyckoff. I'm on the global product strategy team at Veeam Software, and I'm responsible worldwide for being the Microsoft evangelist, right? So as I mentioned, you know, I'm not, if you can't tell from the accent, don't hold it against me, I'm not from Australia. I'm from the United States, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where I was born and raised. Go Steelers, if you follow the NFL, American football. But so today we're here to talk to you about Veeam, Azure, and Microsoft, and the five reasons why we're good together, right?
Fair, very, very fair. There's a fair bit going on around here. We've seen a lot going with Veeam, whether we talk about monitoring or backup or management or DR. And we've got quite a few customers doing it in a range of different ways, and we'll talk about a couple of those today as well.
Yeah, and we even have a live demo set up, so we'll be able to give you guys a live look at, you know, some of the things that Veeam has to offer, as well as how we leverage Microsoft Azure. So show of hands, folks in the audience, who knows who Veeam is? Who's at least heard of Veeam? Right, anybody? Okay, at least doing something, right? You know who we are. How many people in here actively run or a Veeam customer and run Veeam in your environment? Couple of you. Let's see, what else? How many of you folks run Microsoft?
Hey,
yeah. What about Hyper-V? No. Hyper-V guys? Anyone Hyper-V love? What about the swear word VMware?
It's fine.
Anybody run VMware? Yeah, okay. That guy in the back, he's like waving at me. He's like, I run it. No, so a little bit about Veeam for those of you that might not be familiar with us. We're a global organization. We've been around since 2006, based in Switzerland, a suburb of Zurich area there, Bar, Switzerland. We have around 2,000 employees, around 170,000 customers worldwide. So we have a pretty large presence within the virtualization space, and a large chunk of our customers, you know, are Hyper-V shops that are leveraging Azure, and that's what we're going to kind of talk about today. So if we kind of take a step back for a few minutes and kind of look at the evolution of what we call the modern data center. You know, if we think back years and years ago, even though it seems like so long ago, but it was just a few years before everybody really adopted this virtualization fad, if you will, right? Being able to be more agile and being able to scale up and scale back on demand, the whole concept of this cloud computing, right? Kind of the premise that Azure is solely built around, being able to scale up, scale down rapidly, applications, platforms. But, you know, years back, folks were racking and stacking physical servers in the data center, and it really was an inefficient way of doing things, so everyone kind of is adopted a virtual first strategy, and Veeam is kind of at the forefront of that, being the fact that we only focus on monitoring and protecting virtual assets within the data center, okay? And, you know, the sad part of it is, you know, the business moves so fast and IT exists to really support the business, but virtualization really took off, so it left a lot of other technologies like backup and monitoring and recovery and availability kind of got forgotten, right? So now you're left with a lot of legacy solutions that weren't purpose-built to really fit the availability requirements of the business, and being able to achieve, you know, the different recovery time and recovery point objectives that the business requires, right? So we leverage virtualization, you know, modern storage technologies like with our partners with the HP, NetApp, EMC, and even a lot of the up-and-coming storage startups that we're starting to work with a lot more. But then also being able to get that data off-premises out to, like, yeah.
Off-premises? On-premises?
Off-site to Azure for long-term archival, leveraging our service provider program that we have, and that's kind of what we're going to demo for you guys today. So, you know, Ben, why don't you tell us a little bit about, like, really what Azure is?
Has anyone heard about Microsoft's cloud story yet today? Yesterday? I hope so. It's a cloud. We've got a few different ways of actually consuming the cloud with Microsoft. I mean, Azure is where we look at for our IaaS and our PaaS solutions. This is where you go to run your software, to run your business. And we can do things like what you're doing today, and take your virtual machines and run your virtual machines up in the cloud. This is great. It's reducing cost. It's increasing agility. We can also go and do solutions where we're doing hybrid. A big thing about what we do as Microsoft is admit there's things on premises that we actually want to have. We're going to keep, and we're going to run certain things in the cloud as well. We sort of have that split scenario. And another big thing about Azure that we do is our platform as a service. So it's great to go and reduce cost and look at other things, but as we start to build it out, we start to go to more software-based solutions. So we're, instead of looking at the operating system as a place where we do our work, we start looking at the application, the code base. So running a lot of our PaaS-based solutions is getting more and more important too. If you go to some of the sessions around modern applications or Internet of Things or our data warehousing, for example, in Azure as a service, you can start to see how we build that out. So there's a lot of things going in. Really, as far as we go at Microsoft, Azure is the future. It is where we are running our business. We're starting to run a lot more other customer businesses, and we're looking at a lot of hybrid scenarios there too.
Yeah, and the whole platform as a service model, Ben, that's like one of the key differentiators of Azure versus other cloud platforms that are out there.
Yeah, we started off as a platform solution. We only introduced IaaS a few years ago. And pretty much because it was done by developers for developers internally initially, a lot of things like our Xbox platform, we developed stuff on this, things like Kinect and all that, on platform as a service. And then we brought it out as a product, and then we started to bring IaaS in due to demand. People want to still lift and shift. It's great to go, here's the future, but the reality of now is we run virtual machines. We need to run things the way they're running. A lot of the time, we can't just pick up everything and put it into a brand new way of doing it. And part of that's when we talk about what people like Veeam are doing, they're taking what people are doing now and customers are doing on site and protecting that data and making it a lot easier. There's still complexities about running and managing your machines as the OS and your applications running on the OS, but they take a lot of that complexity away, the way to view and monitor and manage those machines, and also, as you talk about, do a lot of the backup and the DR and not look at doing things like taking full copies of those backups every time you want to do a backup of a machine, just taking what you need and taking it up to Azure. And some of those hybrid solutions have been pretty powerful with what you're doing.
Yeah. How many folks in here today are leveraging the cloud in some shape or fashion, whether it be Office 365, maybe SharePoint Online, another kind of outside of that, if you think of it, you know, maybe like Salesforce.com is a good example of, you know, cloud-based solutions, but also, you know, software as a service and platform. And one of the things that I actually didn't know before you guys actually went to market with Azure, you ran Xbox 360. Like, the whole Xbox Live experience was completely run in Azure.
Well, that was what I was saying. The whole actual Azure platform before it came to market was there for the development of the 360. Things like Kinects 7 years ago were being developed on the Azure platform. Wasn't called that then, but internal to Microsoft, and that's sort of what we were doing and how it started to come about.
Right. Yeah, cool stuff. So why don't you tell us a little bit about, you know, Office 365 and things?
And we've got a few people. Anyone using O365? Or anyone actually using it, or any people just own it? Great. So O365 is our SaaS, one of our SaaS solutions, our software as a service. Obviously, you know, IaaS is, when you look at the different levels of what you're owning and managing, you're not owning the hardware and IaaS solution, but you're owning the operating system and up. In a platform solution, you're not worrying about the OS. You scale out. It's a whole scenario where the OS doesn't really matter. Your code manager, you're curating and managing your code and application. When you look at our SaaS, you're managing the way it looks, the actual customizations configuration and skins or anything else, and you're really just getting delivered a service, which is doing things like mail or Office as a service or things like our CRM Dynamics, SharePoint Online. Anyone using SharePoint Online today? For me, when I look at it, things like that, unless you're looking at something highly customized, you wouldn't go and really implement an on-premises SharePoint solution anymore. A lot of the time, you just go and start running it straight out of Azure, out of O365. It's just a simple, easy way to do business. And the scale on it's great. It's been, I don't look after Office 365 as a product, but it's been amazing to have people I know, and they're doing it for their businesses, their home. They come and go, hey, this is great. I can do $100 for a year. I get 5 machines covered fully for all the Office suite.
Right.
I get mail. I get things like OneDrive, a terabyte of OneDrive storage. Yep. I get Skype minutes. It's perfect.
I love my OneDrive. That's where I store everything. I live and die by it.
The Skype's pretty handy for you traveling.
Yeah. So kind of evolving.
Where'd you go?
A little animation there. I didn't know that was there. So how many people in here have heard of the 3-2-1 rule? Well, those that are Veeam customers should be shaking their head. Yes, they're at least somewhat familiar. Anybody know what the 3-2-1 rule is? Yeah, this guy here, he knows.
I think the guy with the glasses in the middle there. Yeah, Corey.
So, three copies of my data on, I must have timed out or something. Three different copies of my data on two different types of media and one of those offsite. So the thing that folks traditionally challenge with or have a hard time with is the ability to get data offsite. So, you know, for those guys in here, you know, I used to be an IT guy. We used to send our backups to tape on every night. You know, some folks that I go and chat with, you know, they're still using external USB drives, and their method of getting their data offsite is literally, I'm going to put it in my backpack, put it in my car, and drive it home, right? And that's how I get my data offsite. You know, a great way for folks to leverage the cloud for long-term archival is, you know, Azure, being able to get that data offsite. But one of the things that you might not realize is you're protecting on-premises with the 3-2-1 rule. But then also, whenever you send it out to the cloud within Azure, you're also protected by the 3-2-1 rule by being geographically replicated from data center to data center and being highly available.
Yeah, and that's one of the things you look at. When you get audited, you're doing your internal, your external audits, and you're looking at where is my data stored. A lot of the compliance is those multiple copies in an offsite location. It's secure. There's also things about going, hey, making sure I can get a copy of that data. I can actually retrieve it. Backup's great. Restoring data is pretty important.
That's pretty, pretty much where the rubber hits the road.
Restoring, it's kind of important. And what we do in Azure, when you take your data to Azure, by default, the lowest level of protection you'll get is what we call locally redundant storage, which is three copies of every piece of data you put in the cloud on different hardware in the one physical location. We then also have geo-redundant storage, which is another three copies of that data copied out asynchronously to our partner region. So if you put your data in Sydney, it'll have three copies in Melbourne if you're using GRS. So six different copies on different hardware and different availability zones. So areas, you know, basically we do different patch schedules and management and different hardware. And we're making sure these diverse copies sit up there. And we're taking care of that all on the back end. It's pretty much just a pull-down box for you when you provision the storage. And you can go and change it at any time as well. And what that means is that data is up offsite. It's accessible. You can go in and verify that data at any time and get a copy up. You don't have to go and find what tape you need, try and go through your retrieval, pull it back in, catalog it, and 2 days later, bang, you've got your data, maybe. You can just go and access it at any time and go and view what it is. And that's a big thing about why we, you know, years back, I mean, I've heard CIOs talking about getting rid of tape for 6, 7, 8 years now. Backup to disk was going to be the great way to do it. Replicate that backup to disk. And we're moving away from that a bit because it's too expensive. So we're looking at solutions like this. It's sort of, here is our short-term backup. We maybe have 2, 3, 4 weeks of backup sitting inside our data center because we want to restore that data really, really quick.
Right.
It's not that much data. And then we take it off to the cloud, and that's our longer-term retention. Every day we may take a copy off to Azure, and that is where we're taking our data for our offsite storage where it's got those multiple diverse copies.
Right.
You come down and you do an audit. Someone comes in an audit and go, hey, prove to me you have your data in multiple locations offsite. You show them where the backup's going, and you can show them the SLAs and the documentation we have actually in our trust center for Azure about what we do with our data. You then talk about, you know, that same person there's going, great, show me you can actually get to that data from 6 months ago, and you can actually mount up and view the whole catalog and restore a single file within a few minutes, depending on how big the file is. If you're smart, you might even restore that into the cloud itself to be able to access a file. Then you're not even pulling data back onto your site. You're doing very, very fast all inside the cloud.
Right. So that's actually part of the reference architecture that Veeam has. So, you know, you have your on-premises Veeam installation where I keep, you know, maybe 7-14 days worth of restore points for fast recovery, because most of the restores that you do, 99% of them are from, you know, what happened yesterday or what happened 2 days ago. Very infrequently do you actually need to go back and pull data that's what I call cold or stale data, right? Things that would have been archived off-site. Maybe you have to, you know, some compliance type scenarios where I need to keep data for, you know, 6, 7, 8 years. You know, why would I want to pay for expensive on-premises disk arrays that I have to worry about maintenance and, you know, upgrading and patching and all that stuff, and then even throw tape into that? And it just makes things much, much more complex than it needs to be, right? So,
but tape's pretty cheap.
It is, if it actually works. So I have a funny story. I like to tell my stories. So back whenever I was an SE, a couple years back, we had a customer that I was working with, and they used tape. They taped out every night, and they sent their tapes to this organization that stored tapes, right? That's what they did. But their tape vault was an old bank, right? So they put the tapes in this bank vault, and they locked it every night, and that's where
did
the tapes were stored.
Did someone lose a key?
Actually, no. So it wasn't, what do I want to say? The humidity, the water, it wasn't environmentally safe for tapes. So actually, whenever these guys needed to call back their tapes, they were no good because the people that they were sending their tapes to weren't taking care of them appropriately. Bad scenario.
That's pretty fair.
Yeah, pretty bad scenario. But I'm not saying that I'm not a fan of tape. But so, you know, applications, operating systems, like I mentioned, you know, kind of the way that things are deployed today. The way that Microsoft manages those is through a suite of products that they have called System Center. System Center is made up of, you know, VMM, Virtual Machine Manager, Config Manager, which is probably the most widely deployed component of System Center. Also, Operations Manager, DPM, Orchestrator, the legacy Orchestrator tool. But, you know, kind of fast-forwarding this picture, this strategy that folks have adopted being virtual first, you know, really, like I mentioned, leaves a gap. So from a backup and replication perspective, this is really where Veeam's kind of made their money initially, right? Being able to back up and restore and provide availability for VMs. But then also being able to manage those and monitor those virtual objects within System Center, being the operations manager framework. So we have a management pack that plugs directly into SCOM, or Operations Manager, that allows you to not only manage the application in the actual physical machine, right? Because it's being traditionally treated as a physical machine because I have the SCOM agent loaded inside of it. I can see if it's a SQL server, if it's a domain controller, all that fun stuff. But I don't know anything about the virtualization layer. I don't know if it's a Hyper-V host. I don't know if it's a part of VMM or if it's a VMware virtual machine, which data store it lives on. I don't have any visibility into any of that. So that's really what our management pack provides, is that application level all the way down to the bare metal hardware, and gives you that complete visibility to drill up and down through the stack to troubleshoot problems. So kind of fast forwarding and, you know, bringing Azure into the mix here is being able to get your data off premises. We have a technology that we leverage called Cloud Connect. So do we have any service providers in the room that kind of do hosting for folks? No, pretty much all IT guys, IT pros. So we have a Cloud Connect engine that allows on-premises customers to leverage service providers, or if you're actually a Microsoft Enterprise Agreement customer, a Microsoft EA, we have Cloud Connect for the enterprise too. So you don't have to kind of go through a service provider. You can leverage Azure to copy your data directly off-premises. And we'll demo that too in a few minutes.
Yeah, and that's been pretty popular. It's actually, I think it still is the most popular thing in the actual marketplace for Azure.
Yeah.
Have I stolen something a bit early?
No, it's okay, yeah. So we'll actually, if you go out, no, like I said, I'll show you this, guys, in a few minutes, but if you go out into the Azure marketplace and just do a quick search for Veeam, there's a pre-configured Windows Server 2012 R2 virtual machine that you can spin up. It already has Veeam loaded on it. Literally takes a matter of, you know, maybe 5 minutes to spin it up, and then you've got an off-premises Veeam installation. How many, are any of you guys actually running any workloads in Azure infrastructure today? Anybody? You are. Do you have a site-to-site VPN connection with Azure, or how?
Express Route.
Yeah. So you have a direct connection. So basically what you could do from, you know, to leverage Azure with Veeam there is spin up a couple of Windows Server VMs and attach some disk to them and leverage those as off-premises repositories and use what we call backup copy job to get the data off-site. So really about talking about protection and availability, you know, taking the story a little bit further and chatting with our folks that run Hyper-V, you know, kind of this is, you know, the second best way to leverage, you know, not only Azure but Microsoft technologies being Hyper-V. Kind of the brains of the operation from a Veeam perspective is this guy here in the center. It's your main Veeam server, right? And the way that we scale is by leveraging what we call proxy servers. Okay, so those are kind of the data movers. And within Hyper-V environments, we leverage the actual Hyper-V host itself because it's a Windows server. We can use on-host proxy, or we can use off-host proxy mode and leverage hardware VSS to take snapshots of those VMs and get them out to what we call a repository. Now, that repository can either be, you know, in your own data center for fast, quick restores. Maybe I have a small amount of SSD, or maybe I have an NFS share. Maybe I have an SMB or scale-out file server deployed that I want to back up to. But then also being able to get that off-site, right? Very efficient. But really, you know, as you mentioned, Ben, probably the most important thing is not only backup, but the ability to be able to restore too, right? That's really where the rubber meets the road. And that's kind of what Veeam has really been most known for. So that's kind of what I'm going to demo now, is kind of give you guys a glimpse into what we have coming in version 9 of our software that's going to be coming out here in a few weeks. So if I got me there. So for those of you guys that raised your hands early that are Veeam customers, right? There was quite a few of you. This is actually not my Veeam server. So I have a management box, and kind of one of the things that people used to complain about a lot about Veeam is that I actually needed to log into the Veeam server to do management and stuff. So now we're providing you the ability to install a standalone client on different endpoints, so my workstation or maybe a management server that I have. So I'm logged into my management server, and I'm connected to my Veeam box. But within here, you can see I've got a couple of different, you know, backup jobs and things. And the first one that I'm going to kind of demo for you, and this is probably my favorite, is, you know, if I just go out here and I right-click on my virtual machine and I go down to Restore Application Items, you'll notice here that I'm presented with two different options, right? Can everybody see that pretty good? I've got the ability to restore Active Directory objects, but I also have the ability to do Exchange restores too. Now, how do we know that? Does anybody have any idea how we know what's running in that VM? Bunch of blank faces. Either you're not paying attention or you don't know. Kidding. So we actually, whenever we take the backup, there's a checkbox to leverage application aware image processing, otherwise known as VSS or volume shadow copy. So whenever we take the backup, we'll invoke the VSS provider inside of that virtual machine, query it, see what it is, right? Whenever you query, get the VSS providers, it says, hey, I'm a domain controller, or hey, I'm Exchange, or hey, I'm SQL, right? Or SharePoint. We'll quiesce that, put it in a consistent state, so whenever I back it up, it's clean, it's not a dirty backup, right? So this gives me the ability to, you know, do different application item level recoveries. And on this domain controller, it's not a best practice, I understand that, but it's my lab, I've actually got Exchange running on a DC. So here, if I go into my Exchange mailbox items, I have 28 different restore points to pick from, so, you know, whenever Sally calls the service desk and says, hey, you know, I deleted that email from last week, or, you know, I can go back and I can pick specifically which point in time. So we'll just go back to last night's incremental backup. It ran at 11 p.m. Hit next. You can give it a reason, which will put a timestamp in the event logs so that you can go back and see why folks are restoring things. Hit finish. So what this is actually going to do is it's going to mount your Exchange database from a compressed, deduplicated backup image to your Veeam server and allow you to drill down through it pretty much like an Exchange-type view, right? It looks much like Outlook, feels much like Outlook. So whenever this mounts up here, I'll be able to drill down through it, and I can actually do e-discovery, right? So maybe my organization's going through, say, for instance, some litigation, right? Maybe I need to go back and, you know, see who did what on what day. I can come in here, I can hit, you know, advanced find. Now I know there's a gentleman in my organization, his name is Rick Vanover. Rick likes to send emails out to the entire company, right, with bad things in it potentially, you know, like critical sales data to everybody. So I can come in here, I can search by any of my Exchange or my Outlook fields. The one that I'm going to pick today is 2. And I'm going to choose the word whole because we have a distribution list that has, you know, whole company. But I don't know if it starts with whole, right? So add to list. I'm going to hit start. Now you'll notice down here on the bottom, right? Not only are we going to present you with a list of every email that was sent to the whole company during that restore point, but also I'm going to give you an estimation of how many objects were found and also the size. So if I wanted to export that out to a PST file, I didn't want to have like a massive, you know, 10 gig PST, it's going to take hours to potentially copy around and move, right? Maybe I wanted to see what the contents of this email was. I can just double click on it, right? So right here, it was sent from Bob Rellis to, you know, everybody in the whole company. It had our end of month sales forecasts were due. A lot of different restore options. I can restore back to the original location just by right-clicking, or I can export out to a PST file. So in the demo that I've got here, I exported out an entire inbox to a PST file, and I've attached that to my Outlook client so that I can go through it and I can, you know, basically see what was in this mailbox at that point in time. But you'll notice there's this export report, right? This is very valuable to have because now folks are exporting things, folks are restoring things. I can report back on, you know, the criteria. This is brand new for version 9, by the way. So I can see exactly what was restored, where it was restored from, what was selected, the size, which database what is it in, which restore point did it come from. Really great for, you know, e-discovery, as I mentioned, litigation purposes I think is a pretty good use case for that. Pretty cool, pretty fast, pretty easy ways of being able to drill into problems and do individual item level recovery of exchange mailbox items, something that's traditionally been a challenge.
Excellent. So why do we look at hybrid cloud today? Is anyone running anything in a hybrid sort of manner? You've got ExpressRoute you mentioned already. People running things on site inside their data center or their colo and then running and extending out to the cloud or running dev test in the cloud? Anyone? Most people generally are when they're starting off with the cloud anyway. And there's reasons for it, and there's quite a few, and they're varied. We may already have things where we've got sunk infrastructure cost, and the amount of time and effort and revenue we'll spend in a project to move our whole production system up to the cloud is not viable straight away. So we might start taking new workloads or maybe freeing up by taking our dev and test up to the cloud. And that's sort of a very, very standard way of looking at things. There can be other scenarios too. It could be, and we're doing a lot with Azure, trust me, but it could be that your performance that you want and you need in Azure isn't high enough. We talk about things like, you know, machines with over 400 gig of memory, up to 50,000 IOPS on a single disk. But we can't actually, you know, this may not be enough for people running huge data warehousing solutions or OLTP, ERP systems, SAP HANA in production, for example, may not be big enough for those kind of scenarios. There's also the matter of security and risk. Honestly, hand on heart, will say that what we do in Azure is probably secure than almost any other customer data center and how we actually protect our data, the guarantees we give, and they're not just technology protection and certifications that we have. It's actually what we do legally and how we protect our customers' rights. We've had quite a few incidents where people have actually been subpoenaed for data and we haven't actually provided that data and we've taken it to court because we actually do believe in our customers' rights and want to actually get true proof around this. We've been a big sort of supporter and advocate of what we talk about when we look at Safe Harbor and other solutions like that. But there's still going to be things where a financial org, for example, may not be able to store all of their information in the cloud. They may have contractual things saying this data has to be on equipment owned by you. And again, they'll look at scenarios then where they might not run that production instances up in the cloud, or they may not just store the data. There's some of our partners out there running storage on premises and compute up in the cloud and actually running it that way because then the data is still residing on their own infrastructure. There's a whole lot of ways for this. And as we go forward, if you've looked at things like Azure Stack, which is coming out very, very soon, this is going to get more and more sort of evident in how we do things. It's not just going to be the ability to move IaaS workloads. We're talking about PaaS workloads and moving things back and forth and having the same experience whether you run it in your data center or run it up in Azure. One of the big things we've seen with this as a first starting point, and this has been for a number of years now, we've had it with solutions we do ourselves like Store Simple, we've had it through partner solutions like Veeam or NetApp or others, is actually using the cloud for storage. And this is a great way, it's a great starting point for the cloud again. Take your cold stuff, the stuff you don't need very much up to the cloud, we talk about long-term backups, Everything like that, put a mechanism in place where you can actually encrypt that data and own the encryption key yourself. And again, with a lot of these solutions out there, that's exactly what we're doing. And use the cloud for that cold storage instead of expanding rack after rack in our data center, which is expensive, not just for the storage, but actually for the facility and managing it as well. Use that cloud as a scaling point. And there's a whole lot of things. And I think for what we look at as far as Microsoft, it's a big thing that differentiates us. It's what makes us special is we look at it and go, the reality of the world is it's not all cloud, it's not all on-premises, it's actually going to be a mixture of both, and it's going to be a mixture of what matters to you. And in some of these technology spaces, we don't just look at it being, you know, something like Hyper-V, System Center, on-premises being what really matters. We also look at some of our competition solutions as well. So some of the people we talk about as being competitors, we also partner with to bring in solutions. So the ability to do things like, you know, Oracle, SAP, and run those in Azure, run those in on-premises. Even solutions like VMware and doing backup or DR up to the cloud with something like Veeam, or even our own Azure Site Recovery product, they're all things we look at and care about because it is the reality of the world. And it's sort of what we're driving towards and where we're going there.
Yeah. So next, we're going to kind of chat about some free tools that we have available. Kind of, if you could take a look back to, you know, 2006, whenever Veeam first came out, we actually didn't launch the company with a paid product. Does anybody know what the first product that Veeam ever came out with was? Anyone that might be early on adopters of Veeam? Anybody aware? Well, it was a fast SCP tool, basically a fast, secure copy utility, completely free, kind of just to test out and see what folks were doing out there. We wanted to, you know, develop tools that IT pros would actually use to kind of see the way that things were going, right? So we developed this fast SCP utility that allowed folks to, you know, move VMs, virtual machine files, large chunks of data around environments fast, easy, and secure. So we've kind of taken this a step further earlier this year, actually, whenever we launched what we call Fast SCP for Microsoft Azure. So this uses remote PowerShell. So actually any VM, any Windows machine that you have remote PowerShell enabled on, you can actually use this Fast SCP tool on. And you can schedule file copies, you can schedule things to move around. But it's a great way to get data, large amounts of data, around from environment to environment, specifically, you know, out to Azure, right? What's, you know, probably one of the largest challenges that folks have whenever they're trying to move data around is, you know, maybe I have an RDP window over, I right-click, I copy, I go into my RDP window and I hit paste, and it times out whenever it gets to 2 gigabytes of space, right? Because that's the limit of a remote desktop connection. With the Fast SCP tool, that completely goes away. You know, you talked about the hybrid cloud scenario where you've got workloads running in your data center and out in within Azure or off-premises. You know, one of the use cases I see for tools like this is being able to refresh potentially production SQL data into maybe a test dev environment that I have running in the cloud. You know, I can take my MDF, LDF files, I can copy them off-premises, go into SQL Management Studio, attach those in, import them, bam, now I've refreshed my data. You know, and I can do that on a scheduled basis. There's a complete scheduling engine built into this free fast SCP tool so that you guys can take advantage of that. I think it's pretty cool. Again, it's completely free, and that's kind of one of the things that Veeam really takes seriously is providing free tools to the community because that, you know, there's a lot of value in that. Wrong computer.
It does help. Yeah, one of the solutions.
This one's near and dear to your heart.
Yeah, this is one based on some customers we've had worldwide actually implementing the solution. How it came about is we've got a solution called Store Simple, which we acquired as Microsoft about three years ago, which is a hybrid cloud storage array. Basically, it sits in the data center, tiers cold data off to the cloud, takes snapshots to take data off to the cloud. It's really focused on those high-density workloads where a lot of the data's cold. Things like, you know, your file servers, home directories, maybe your SharePoint, remote blob storage, where there's a huge amount of data, but it consists of millions of files. It's hard to back up, and a lot of it sits there cold. We had some customers who were running very, very good Veeam customers and also very good Microsoft customers. Yep. The local one in Australia was Fortescue Metals. And you could actually catch them on it was still called Tech Ed session from the year before, when they're presenting with one of your colleagues,
yep,
one of my
Doug,
colleagues.
My boss.
And and what we do with this solution is we actually sat down with these guys and go, well, actually, we want to use it for Veeam. It's great for our file server workloads, but we want to see if how it works with Veeam. And traditionally, this is not a solution that we look at as being a backup target. It really is that be your primary storage, archive storage, backup, and DR in the cloud for file kind of workloads, high-density workloads. So we sat down, we did all the validation, and we... we actually got this validated with Veeam because of the way Veeam does very, very small incremental, it's kind of CDP-based updates to do its backups. And so using the Store Simple solution, what we had is backing it up to our primary storage for maybe a week or two and then taking the copy off to the Store Simple. That Store Simple then takes it up to Azure. And what we talked about, what our customers talked about and what a lot of the current reference architecture talks about is using our older model box here. And this is taking copies up to Azure. It's giving long-term retention. They're using the snapshot and keeping years' worth of data. In terms of things like backups and how much capacity those backups are taking, they're using the deduplication compression native to the Store Simple, and they're getting about 98.5 or so percent of actual savings, which we kind of hope and expect for with backup, but it's good to see it actually happening. And what they've gone, so for the Fortescue guys, what they've gone on and done now is actually gone and put the newer model Store Simples we have in there, which are higher capacity, higher performance. And for some of their other sites, they've got rid of that that middle primary storage, traditional direct attached or SAN-based storage for their 1-2 week retention, and they're using the Store Simple for all the data. And this has been a great solution for them because they're running file server workloads there, which is about 140 terabytes, one of these boxes of production file. And then they're also running their Veeam backups to another one of these Store Simple appliances, and it's taken way reduced their tape management costs. But as well as that, it stopped them having to refresh some of their existing on-premises storage they run. And what we initially said when we worked with them, and it was a good outcome, was they did all this and removed a lot of the complexity and the cost and the tape management and the disk expansion without any performance reduction. It didn't really improve the performance. And as far as I understand, since sort of looking at the newer models, we've seen actually performance improve from what it was prior. Of course, we expect that when we put in new hardware, new processors, new SSD and everything else, but still, it's a good thing to see. And it's been a great solution. So the US customer you can talk about as well was
Yeah, it's
Mazda.
Yeah, actually, oh, Mazda Automotive. Yeah, their customer case is here. And you guys will get copies of the presentations and things after the show's over. But, the greatest part about the Store Simple device is that the end user doesn't need to worry about, is it on this piece of storage? Is it on the Store Simple? Is it in Azure? All that metadata and everything is completely managed internally within the system. So from a Veeam backup and application perspective, you just go into the console, pick my restore point, which one do I want to go back to? And the Store Simple is smart enough to know, is it here locally on the Store Simple or is it out in Azure on my blob storage that I'm copying off premises to?
So, and what are seeing some of the customers doing with the newer models now is we've actually got virtual appliances inside of Azure of Store Simple. So bring up copies of that data set inside the cloud instead of restoring the whole data. And they're trolling this out. We need to get this documented. and seeing how they can restore it inside Azure instead. So instead of pulling data even back down to site, just get the data you need back in the cloud. A lot of the time, they're not even pulling it back to site because they may be replicating machines.
Right. That's a good use case.
We'll talk about
it. So the fifth reason why your business needs Veeam and Microsoft Azure is the cloud connect, right? So this is a huge portion of our business at Veeam comes from service providers, okay? And the way that we leverage and help our service providers really build their DR as a service or their recovery as a service type offerings that they have is leveraging what we have here with Cloud Connect. Either they can spin up VMs, Cloud Connect virtual machines, proxy servers, cloud repositories within Azure, or they can use their own data center. And this is kind of what we're going to show off today. So here I just taken a screen grab of the Cloud Connect kind of Azure Marketplace view here. So it's really simple to go in, search for, deploy, really fast, really simple, really easy. It's completely certified by Microsoft, so not anybody can just go out there and add anything to the Azure Marketplace. It actually has to go through several iterations and revisions of quality control and validation. And so, do you have anything to add to that? Or
no, it's just it's still been a lot of people. It's quite interesting. When I was talking about some people who do a lot of our PaaS-based development, we're talking about the marketplace yesterday, actually, and they sort of go, well, why is Veeam such a popular app? It is still the most popular thing that's being accessed in the marketplace for Azure. And the reason really is because, everyone has servers they want to protect. Everyone has virtual machines, and everyone's looking at the cloud, and something you can turn on and use straight away without a lot of overhead or cost or time and duration to get it running. is really, really valuable. We have a lot of other great things in there. We've got, you know, virtual appliances and all kinds of stuff from a lot of other partners we have. We've got things which are doing, like, you know, conversion of documents into PDF and all these other things, but they're being used for point applications here and here, and they're not being used across the board. Not everyone has the same technology, but everyone has machines on site they want to protect and back up.
Need to protect, absolutely.
So it's been very popular for that.
So kind of how does this whole thing work? So if you have your traditional on-premises, you know, VMware or Hyper-V workloads, you back those up to what we call, as I mentioned when we talked about the reference architecture.
Build out.
Back up locally for fast recovery, you know, keep maybe 10, 14, 28, 30 days worth of restore points on premises. But then also, whoever created this, because it wasn't me. I'm not Chris Henley, the person that was supposed to present this presentation. His flight got canceled and wasn't able to make it here in time. So I'm kind of, I'm being agile, right? I'm being available, filling in. But so you can see here that being able to leverage service providers as well as the enterprise connection that we have to get your data on-premises out to Azure. And now would be a good time to demo this. So let's see here, six. So this is the new Azure portal. It's not the, this is kind of the beta version. And some of the things that you can do in Azure are specific to the new portal. Some of the things are specific to the old portal. I know that Microsoft's kind of working to...
Yeah, there's a lot going on here. And if you haven't already, we're referring to this as ARM, so Azure Resource Manager. We have some of one of my colleagues from our product team working on the ARM on this portal was presenting yesterday. Go and have a look at some of those sessions and have a look at, you know, the Azure Resource Manager and have a look at what the differences are. A lot of things. Basically, we are moving all of our products into Azure Resource Manager. All the new stuff goes straight in there. And current stuff is moving from the old portal to the new portal. There is a bit of white space where we don't have all products in the new portal, and you have to actually do a mix of both, but we are slowly moving everything towards the new Azure portal. One of the big functions in this as well is it's also very DevOps-based. You can go and create views and workloads, and instead of looking at, here's my virtual machines, here's my networks, here's my storage, you can do views and goes, well, here's my front of house application, my website with my database and my application servers and my load balancers, and that sits there in this little box. Monitor that as a whole. So doing things like that make it a lot easier to actually manage and run your virtual infrastructure.
Right. So all I've done here is just gone into the Azure Marketplace and I hit create. And basically what this does is it's going to ask me for a username and password as well as what the host name. What do I want to name this virtual machine? And then I can come down here and I can pick specifically which Azure virtual machine do I actually want to deploy? What size, right? So this gives you, you know, a lot of different options. Some of the largest options being, you know, the G series that Microsoft has. These are massive, massive VMs that you can attach hundreds of virtual disks to.
Yeah, not currently in Australia yet.
Oh, okay, in the States. Sorry.
Keep your eye on that. You can still run G series, but we have things like the D series and everything else in Australia and premium storage, Azure as well.
So you can come scroll down through here, pick which VM you want. Next, brings it up in a virtual network within Azure, pretty fast. So whenever you log in here, you know, I'm presented with, you know, my Veeam backup and replication. So this, you'll notice that I have a new tab here, the Cloud Connect Infrastructure. And in my environment, what I've done is I've created a tenant, being myself, Clint Wyckoff, and I've assigned a quota to my user account. So if I look at the properties of this, I can see which resources I'm allowed to use, and if I edit that, I can see here, you know, what's my quota. So I'm allowed to use 49 gigabytes of the 50 gigabytes that I have on this repository. And if I switch over and look at this repository, you'll notice I have a backup job called Ignite AU to Azure, and it's got some Veeam files in it, right? One of them is a full backup that I took yesterday. And then, as Ben mentioned, you know, we don't take a full backup every day because that would be completely inefficient and not a good way of doing things. In Hyper-V, we leveraged a filter driver that we inject on the Hyper-V host to use change block tracking. So there's not native CBT within Hyper-V yet. There will be in Windows Server 2016. But, you know, so we're going to track the blocks of data after the first full backup, copy those off-premises out to Azure. And then once it's out here, I can come in here, I can right-click, I can import my backup, I can browse. Let's go out here and look at my Ignite 8. That's the metadata file. I hit open. Okay. Now, that easy that I was able to copy it off-site, and I'll show you how that worked too, what it looks like on-premises. But now, this imports it in, and I've got all my restore points right here to pick and choose from and do all my different item-level recoveries, right? So if I wanted to come in here, it's actually a VMM server that I have, so I can do SQL Server database recovery for point in time from this restore point, next, finish. This is going to launch my SQL Explorer that we've got. So now I can drill into this SQL database, run queries against it, export it out, different restore points, and I could attach those to another virtual machine that's running SQL Server within Azure, so I can go back to different restore points. Be really agile and nimble, right? I think from a development perspective, the best thing to have is a lot of different options, right? I got on-premises, I can do things in the cloud, you know, because the business is very, very agile. And whether we realize it or not, or whether you folks realize it or not, the sole purpose that why we're all here and why we all have jobs is to service the business and be able to respond to the business's requirements. You know, whenever I was in IT Pro, I think one of the most common reasons that our development team would go and leverage cloud-type resources is because traditional IT was a bottleneck. It took us, you know, 10 days and 4 change controls later to give somebody a virtual machine, right? Just because of the way that things were so complicated with processes and change controls and advisory board meetings. Being able to have different options to be agile and nimble are great. So here I've got my SQL Server database loaded. You can see here that it's in full recovery mode. If I right-click on it, I can go back and I can restore to the latest state. I can restore to another server. So if this was in the same virtual network within Azure as another SQL database, I could restore to there or locally on here. So switching the view to my on-premises environment, what I've got here is my Ignite AU backup job. And basically what this does is it backs up to an on-premises Exagrid storage appliance that I have, okay? It's a deduplication storage appliance. And then you'll notice here I have this backup copy job that says Ignite AU to Azure. Notice the name of it's exactly the same as the folder that was in Azure, right? And on here, you'll notice that it's sitting idle because it's a continuously running job. It's a backup copy job. So as soon as my on-premises backup job finishes, this is going to notice a change and start to copy those change blocks, those new incremental blocks, out to the cloud. So it's very fully automated, great way to leverage the ability to get on-premises out to the cloud. And in the Azure Marketplace later this afternoon, I'm actually going to be doing kind of a live demo, a soup to nuts deployment of this entire process. So if that was something that anybody was interested in, feel free to come by the Marketplace Theater this afternoon. But that was what I had from a demo perspective. Does anybody have any questions or anything about that, or any maybe use cases that you guys see that I might not have mentioned? This gentleman. They would all show, it just so happens that VM that I have is only a virtual machine manager database. But if I had, you know, my production ERP and accounting and a bunch of different other databases on there, they would all show up too. Yeah. And one of the cool things, I'm not doing it for this job, but you can do transaction log backups and transaction log replays within our SQL Server restore options. So I can do transaction log backups every 15 minutes to even, you know, so now, not only can I restore back to last night's restore point, but, you know, this guy right here, I hate to pick on you, but you write horrible code, and now we need to revert back to what just happened, right? So, like I said, flexibility is probably the greatest thing that Veeam has to offer, is it's very easy, it's very fast, it's very reliable to use. Get a good picture?
Taking to the floor, taking out to the people. With any other questions, otherwise we might move on.
Yep, absolutely. So, you know, this is kind of summing things up. We're fantastic partners with our friends at Microsoft. We love them. I hope they love us back. You know, like I said, we've leveraged modern storage vendors. Like, we have partnerships with HP, with NetApp. version 9. I didn't demo this, but if you come by the booth and you're interested in seeing an existing Veeam customer or maybe a prospect that uses EMC, VNX, VNXE storage arrays, we'll be able to leverage backup from storage snapshots. We got some really cool stuff coming with Oracle. Lots of new exciting things that are going to be launched just by the end of the year with version 9. And kind of here's a snapshot of the different sessions that we're doing at the, in the Azure Marketplace, where you can come by and see myself speak some more about Veeam and Azure if you're interested in kind of demoing this live, right? Less PowerPoint, more demo. My favorite.
It's not bad.
And then, if anyone's ever been to a Veeam party, they're pretty epic, and we're going to be having one here tonight. So if you're interested in coming and, you know, tossing back a few adult beverages with us, please visit the short URL that I have out there and sign up. We'd welcome to have you guys as a guest.
Where can they get to this URL? Can they go to the booth to get it? They won't get this deck until a few days.
Right, it's just right down there on the bottom.
Oh, that's pretty easy then.
Yeah, it's vee.am.
I didn't actually check the link. I thought it was a real long link.
Oh, no, I made a short URL. That way I can remember it.
And if you don't know where the bars are, I'm pretty good with knowing where bars are. It's just below Peppers, next to the Sofitel, so it's pretty handy too for most of the hotels.
But what presentation wouldn't be complete without a call to action for you guys? You know, I invite everybody to, if you're not an existing Veeam customer, you know, go out to our website. There's a lot of free tools. A couple of things that I didn't show you, Hyper-V Task Manager is a free tool that we have, so you can drill into Hyper-V standalone nodes as well as failover clusters. View performance information. If you're running, actually, let me show you this real quick, because everybody in here's got Windows laptops, or at least they should.
We've got another 10 minutes.
Has anyone ever heard of Veeam Endpoint Backup? Yeah? This is another completely free tool that allows not only protection of endpoints, laptops, surfaces, but also maybe if you had some of those last remaining physical servers in the environment, you can leverage this to back those up. It's a really fast, really easy, really great way. Again, completely free. Doesn't cost a single Australian dollar. But I can come into here, I can right-click on it, you know, I can go back and I can do restore individual files, entire volumes. Whenever you, install Endpoint Backup for the first time, it'll ask you to insert installation media so that you can create bare metal recovery. So I can actually do bare metal restores of not only physical machines, but also of, you know, laptop surfaces, endpoint devices. But I can come in here and I can browse out and I can see, I don't actually have my external USB drive attached, but I could go back and scroll through. One of the great things about this is I can back up two Veeam repositories. So whenever I switch back over to my lab here, within my Veeam environment, it'll show up as an endpoint backup. So then I can come in here and I can right click and I can do, you know, a lot of different restore individual, you know, Windows items, files. Your question, sir.
Yeah, so I know recently you integrated it with LabTech, you know, for central management and endpoint backups. But do you plan on coming out with like another solution for people that perhaps aren't using LabTech to essentially manage all the endpoint backups? Because otherwise you need to like configure it on each individual endpoint, which, you know, can be a little bit cumbersome. So maybe just having like a central management console, or, you know, maybe have like a big team of sales guys and just want to deploy it out to them and be able to configure it all in one place.
So the question was about centralized management of the Veeam endpoint backup.
Yeah.
And what Veeam are doing there.
So like you said, today we do that with a remote management tool called LabTech, right? Maybe you're not using LabTech. We're well aware that a lot of folks aren't using LabTech. If you're kind of familiar with the way that Veeam does things, it's slowly through evolution. I would think that the next natural progression would be to create a central management and a way to kind of push out and manage, you know, endpoint backup. Do I know when that's going to be? No, those are decisions that are made above me, unfortunately. I wish I had that type of visibility. No, good question, though. Anybody else? I'm sorry?
Just on the backup component, specifically for Azure.
Yes.
Still proxy based, so the higher amount of concurrent jobs,
I don't know. Can you?
So with the existing model of we,
yes.
We have proxy service. Mm-hmm. The larger amount of cores, the higher amount of concurrent jobs.
Correct.
Is that the same concept in Azure?
Right. So within Azure, you stand up cloud repositories, but the cloud repositories, you know, can only handle so much throughput. So out there, you essentially, to those proxy servers that you would deploy, you add repositories, and that's how you can manage the concurrent jobs. And also for Cloud Connect, you can even use the WAN acceleration too.
Sure, but if I want to run 8 jobs simultaneously, I need 8 cores on that proxy server.
So you wouldn't want to have multiple proxies, just like on premises. And we can talk about this. We can take it offline at the booth, not to derail everything here. But it's better to have more than one large. Yes, sir.
Just in regards to the database engines that you support, so SQL Server is obviously the first one. Mm-hmm. You mentioned Oracle.
So we do have, in version 9, we're going to have an Oracle Explorer too, so being able to do individual item level recovery of Oracle databases. So we can recover items out of any database, any file system. If you can virtualize it, we can restore an individual item out of it. We just don't have those pretty little explorers for everything.
Okay, so you currently just have that SQL Server version, or have that same
Oracle, correct.
So
we have an FLR engine. Basically what it does is it mounts a file level recovery appliance to a Linux virtual machine, and you can drill into it that way. It's just, like I said, it's just not that pretty explorer. So if you had DB2 databases, if you have other, maybe Apache, things like that, you can still drill into the file system and get items out of it. It's just not like transaction log replay and all those types of things. And if you wanted to make it consistent, are you running a VMware, or you run Hyper-V, or where do you run these workloads? VMware. So VMware, you would use VMTools Quiescence, because it's not a Windows virtual machine, so it wouldn't be VSS, and you would use like pre-freeze and post-thaw scripts to quiesce during the backup window. We can take that offline if you'd like. But it is possible. Anybody else? Okay. Fair enough. You can speak to that since you helped. I mean, I could too, but I think Ben's...
With the still simple solution, we don't really want to do dedupe and compression at two different levels, because what happens is if Veeam's doing dedupe and compression, it then goes down to a storage device doing dedupe and compression, but every block looks unique. So you don't actually get all the savings and the capacity that you should get. So what we do, and what we've got in the reference architecture you can get a copy of, is, and it's on your website, isn't it? And is basically turning off some of the smarts that Veeam do around deduplication and compression, and leaving that to actually happen on the still simple appliance itself.
Okay, so you could use a third-party storage device anyway, and then use the deduplication if you wanted to.
You can use anything you want. I mean,
so Veeam does...
I'm just talking about an example where we're using that to take it up to the cloud. You could use multiple other solutions. You could buy just a bunch of disk on site. You could have another storage array. The guy just on the side of you works for NetApp, and they have an Altavolt appliance, which will do a lot of that stuff as well. There's a whole range of different technologies you can use there.
Yeah, so the deduplication and compression is job-based, right? So you turn it on and off on a job-by-job basis. But as Ben mentioned, if you're backing up to just a bunch, like a JBOD, for instance, or maybe a dedupe storage appliance, right? Each one of those jobs might have different settings. So, good questions. You're out of questions, man.
So, I'm sure if you come to the VM's database-based stuff, it does file as well. So if we have large user shares...
If it's running in a VM, sure. If it's not running in a VM, so we can't do...
physical or NAS?
Yeah, we can't just do a back... What it's called is slipping my mind right now. I apologize. Yeah, NDMP. We can't do NDMP-based backups, but if you have those file servers running in a virtual machine, we can protect those. Because, you can snapshot that. You can take a checkpoint of it.
So what if we mounted those files via a virtual machine?
As an external drive? Yeah.
Yeah. That would be block-based storage rather than NAS.
As long as you're not using, RDMs or raw device mappings.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any other questions?
Reverse, yes.
Can you still
I just would not want to do reverse incremental backup whenever you're copying out to Azure or any type of off-premises or any type of tape or deduplication storage appliance, because you'd be deduping and basically sending off-site a full backup, because that's what a reverse incremental is it keeps the latest backup as always a full backup. So every night I'd be copying a full or taping out a full. Bad.
Great. Also, as part of this, we've got a whole lot more training online you can access. So don't stop here at this session or the sessions this week. Get on and have a look at the Virtual Academy.
Yeah. MBA is a great place.
It's a great place. Every single session at Ignite is recorded. The decks will be made available. You can go on to channel9.mstn.com. So today's session, I talked about sessions around things like Azure Resource Manager. Go and have a look. There's a lot more details there. And finally, please go in and take a couple of minutes and go and rate all the different sessions, because actually the feedback you give helps make these sessions more relevant for next year. So a lot of that information. And I mean, numbers do matter when you talk about ratings too, so fives are great, one's not so good. But in all honesty, it actually does help us build a better session. So please take a little, a minute out and just do that too in all the sessions you go to.
Thanks, guys. We appreciate it.
Thanks a lot for coming.